it. Splash it. Well, Straight Talk Wireless now offers this new Platinum Unlimited plan that includes phone protection. Just $65 a month for unlimited talk, text, and data. Plus 20 gigs of hotspot, 100 gigs of cloud storage, and more. All on the best network. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract. No compromise. See Mobile Protect terms and conditions at Asurion.com/Straight Talk. Limitations and exclusions apply.
As a recipient of a prize from Coastal Broadcasting of La Rose Incorporated, also known as KLRZ 100.3 FM ESPN New Orleans, you are responsible for applicable taxes and our licensing fees. We're not responsible if a prize is damaged or breaks, an event is canceled, or business closes. When mailing prizes, our station is not responsible for prizes that are damaged or lost. One winner per household for 30 days. Winner must have a picture ID and must pick up the prize within 30 days. You can pick up most prizes at our studio office, 11603 Highway 308, La Rose. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Casey Gisclair.
And I'm Stan Gravois.
Join us every Saturday right here for the Sports Corner.
High school, college, and national sports.
Coaches and call-ins and your take on our opinions in the world of sports.
So join us every Saturday from 10 to noon.
Right here on the Sports Corner, presented by TGMC Community Sports Institute.
10 to noon.
On ESPN 100.3.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
That was a nice dialogue there we had during the break there. Maybe I got you to understand a little bit. We can continue to discuss this a little bit. No, a lot more from the Pels here as well. 800-998-1003. I'd like to get your opinion on it here as well, Saints fans, as we get ready for the Atlanta Falcons for a second straight time this season. First off, you know what day of the week it is. It is Wednesday, which means you hear this.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is?
Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more that, what, that Camel Wednesday hump day. Is that what it is?
Day is Shock G, the Digital Underground. Jordan, the intern, back again. I was yesterday with Mr. Ken Berthelot, John Forkin. I was just a room over.
Yeah, you were just... Yeah. We didn't hear you at all, though.
I will say this. Doing a basketball game remotely with no sound, very awkward.
Well, at least you got it done.
Very awkward. Words of wisdom. And to all the ladies, peace and
humpiness forever. You know what? Huh. Nothing could bring me down today.
Why is that?
Not even LeBron's, you know, two-year extension with the Lakers.
Ooh, he got a big old extension today. I know Travis is really happy. Maybe he'll get a raise. Think he'll get a raise?
I don't care.
Set to make 39.2 this year, 41 in 2021-22, and 44 in 2022-23. He also said today that a younger Lakers team absolutely should repeat. There you go.
Well, that's not going to bring me down because
that's
you
not
know
bring
what?
You down?
No, I'm done with math forever, baby.
Oh, yeah. Statistics?
Statistics.
Did you pass?
I did.
Okay.
Is I finished with an 80 with in the class.
Is this the same class you got a 17 in?
No, that was the summer class. Oh, so now we're just releasing the numbers now.
Well, I mean, it's over. I mean, it's,
and I did
it's been declassified.
I did pass that
I
summer
have
class.
No idea how you passed that.
Because I'm clutch. I have ice in my veins.
You can never use the word clutch when you get a 17 on a test. Richard, thank you for calling us on the Sports Hangover. How are you?
I'm great. That was great, by the way. And Jordan, congrats, welcome back. But that last bit about how you passed was great. So that was good. That was good. So, Gus, I love everything that you said at the end there, at the end of the last hour. So this was my what if take, because we're not in Sean Payton's head.
Sure.
We don't know what he's thinking. But what if? He, that game plan, that original game plan, going up against Drew Locke and the Denver Broncos, this is what we're going to do. Then, of course, the news breaks, and it's like, okay, let's put this to the side. Because, while, yes, I agree with you, because for a moment there, I'm like, oh, well, this is the game. This will be the perfect game for him to just, you know, throw all over the place, do this, do that, do five trick plays in a row, whatever. But then it was also like, if you do this stuff and it works, you possibly have given more film to our next team after, which, of course, is Atlanta. And again, back to the week before when we spoke and I said, we know Atlanta. Atlanta knows us. They don't know Taysom. Well, they have film on Taysom after one game. They have nothing to go off of, really, with this Denver game. They really don't, other than, oh, he held the ball too long and, you know, he, you know, missed on some throws. That's kind of it. So it's possible, I don't know, likely, but it's possible that it was more like, we're not going to give our next competitor anything more they can go off. Because what if these plays do work? What if we gave him these short passes up the middle or something, whatever. Whatever it was, what if we – and he succeeds so well, and now they're like, ooh, okay. So now we're going to know to watch more closely for this because, again, Taysom is still raw, da-da-da-da-da. So that's the what if. What if it was more like we won't help the competition with anything further? They know you can run, but here, just run. Throw a couple passes, nothing pretty. You know, just what if.
All right, now look, this is why it's an open-ended discussion. Again, right decision. You got in and out of the win. You have to, at the end of the day, pick the best way you think you're going to get in and out and come home with the win. So I got it. I mean, he said it on Sunday. It may not be aesthetically pleasing, but you're there to get a win. Great. I'm just, again, it's just the reporter guy in me, just the gnawing part of, well, why do you feel or fear or worry about turnover unless you have a reason to believe so? All right, so you're going to go with, you know what? We can walk into a game like this, literally do nothing, be very basic and vanilla, get a win, and we have an entire week that we've actually worked on said game plan. So he's practiced it. Now we'll do it again this week. So now that's 2 weeks and get ready for Atlanta. Atlanta didn't see it. And we can kind of use maybe some elements of that or different elements of that. So that's where you're going. Because, Jordan, you're kind of saying a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, well, then after hearing what you had to say during the break and then just evaluating everything that Sean Payton usually says, that goes against everything that Sean Payton stands
for. That's what's
for.
Gnawing at me.
It's because it's always don't eat the cheese.
That's
so
what's
why
gnawing
would
at
you
me.
Take a game easy? And you only have – you go into a game with, you know, a certain amount of plays, obviously. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to use – the majority of them.
Right.
So why would you, and you can't come up with like, new, you could come up with new plays every week, but it's, you kind of use the same. That's why we have a word wrinkle. You throw in a few wrinkles.
You
change
right.
plays a little bit. So yeah, I kind of agree with Gus after talking to him during the break. I just don't see that being it.
I guess what I was talking about during the break, Richard, to Jordan was this, is the game plan I had Wednesday to Friday. We're going with it, right? I mean, that's what I was fine with.
Yeah.
Until I found out that there was no quarterback. And that's Sean's words, that we then changed it. And what I told Jordan is, then why are you taking away his ability to throw the football? Because that's the only way that you make it safer, right? You're not making it safer by running certain running routes. You're not making it safer by not running the football as much. The only way you made your game plan safer was by throwing the football less. So what I'm trying to understand is, what is the reason for you to feel that? If I'm confident in my, and that's why I brought up last segment. If Drew Brees is that quarterback, are you telling me that if the other team has no quarterbacks, Drew's handing the ball off 45 times?
Yeah, because what if those other plays that you came up with
right,
don't work?
Right, that's what I – because, again, what is your reason to fear what would have to happen for Denver to win? And that's what I'm saying. That's the thing that's gnawing at me, is I'm just surprised that even pops in his mind.
Because it wasn't – you're not changing the offensive game plan.
Correct.
It's you're not playing the quarterback.
You're just telling him not to throw.
Well, the quarterback but isn't on defense.
And here's the other element of it, Richard, that I was saying too. You can call a conservative and safe game plan,
right,
without telling me that every single minute of the game you're telling Taysom Hill not to turn it over. That's what's gnawing at me. I can call – Latavius Murray said it after the game. He had no idea he was going to run that many times. He said the game just went that way. Sean kept calling. I did my job. So Sean Payton, in his mind, without telling anybody, could have looked at the game and said, you know what, we're going to play it safe and not do that. What stands out to me is that he said in the post game, I was in his ear the entire game not to turn the ball over. And all I'm saying is for a guy that's trying to go, and he said it. He said it on Monday. Look, there's games. I get the need to want to go out there and prove it. That's not the game to go do it. That also gnaws at me because I'm going, it absolutely is the game to try to go to. They don't have a quarterback. Like, what are you? Because, again, if you feel that that's not the game for him to go showcase what he can do, then when is that? Because the next game's the biggest game, the most important game, and better competition, and they have quarterbacks. That's the only thing that's just peculiar to me. Again, not the wrong thing. His job's to get a win. In his mind, that's the best way to get a win. I'm just saying I understand a lot of Saints fans going, well, you're not really convincing me that Taysom's his quarterback when you're telling me I'm afraid of turnovers and there's games that he can showcase it. That's not one of them. And I just don't understand why that wouldn't be one of them when they literally didn't have a quarterback.
Well, and, you know, maybe, you know, not trying to take too much of your time here, but maybe it's also to the defense on the other side. See, like, again, and I don't want to jinx it on for Sunday, mm-hmm. but knowing the defense of Atlanta versus knowing the defense of Denver, like Denver – until the fourth quarter, they were doing everything they possibly could. They were legit trying, and then they just tired out at the end because they were always on the field. Atlanta's defense on the other side of the spectrum. So, you know, in the beginning, we did some runs, we did some passes. The passes weren't really working. Taysom was a little off. The rhythm wasn't quite there. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, who knows what was going through his mind? And I don't know, perhaps, you know, Sean could be just sugarcoating it. Maybe he, you know, it was more like, like a what if. Like, all right, we'll try a couple of things. Well, he's missing. All right, let's run three more. Didn't we run like 10 straight plays? Like, I know Murray said.
The first scoring touchdown drive was 10 straight rushes. Yes, that's my
point. That, to me, probably was that point where he was just well, like.
Okay, well, that's like, what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. To your point. If something changed his mind because he thought it couldn't work, then that's, I can understand then why people are a little, okay, if that's the case. Hey, man, Richard, thank you for the phone call, man. I need to get Cornell in before we get to a break. Thank you, man, Richard, for
Absolutely.
The phone call.
Thank you.
Cornell, what you got for us, man? About 2.5 minutes before we break.
All right, Gus, how y'all doing today?
Doing well, man.
I agree with you on the Sean not doing what he normally would do, but this is my take. I take that Teron Armstead going on the COVID list,
yep.
and Andrews Pete being out
yep.
against that defensive line of Denver causing problems for Taysom, and I figured he knew that, like at least during the beginning of the game, so that's what made him decide to run more than pass.
See, that's why we have this discussion, and it's over. That's something that's sensical. That makes sense to me. I don't have my starting left tackle. I don't have my starting left guard. That makes sense. What do you?
Is sensical a word?
You know what? Are you questioning me?
Sensical.
Uh-huh. Even if it isn't, it sounds good, doesn't it? Sounds like a real word.
Well, I guess.
Well, man, glad they got the win. I'm glad they got the win. But
oh,
you know,
I'm with you. Get it out of there.
Do whatever
man.
It takes.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
No, like
yeah.
I said, I'm not critiquing it to the extent. It's just kind of one of those things that gnaw on me for a guy that's so. You know, stop. I mean, Drew Brees for years. You stop us. You know, you do this. It's just, it was so odd to hear him be very adamant on Sunday and Monday and even today. Look, I'm telling you, what we did Sunday was what I wanted to do, and he did what I told him to do. It's just so out of character to an extent. You know, from that,
yeah.
And to hear him say, "There's gonna be, you know, there's games where you showcase that was not the game." And it's just a part of me that goes, no, to me, that would have been the game. They have no quarterback, you know? So that's the only reason I'm bringing it up.
Yeah, but that line being heard hurts us. But thank you. Have y'all have a good day.
You too,
good
man.
Thank you.
Always
call,
appreciate
bro.
The phone call. I can't believe you doubted me that was not a word.
You literally looked it up on
Google.
It was Wikipedia, so I'm not giving it too much, too much weight.
Go to dictionary.com. Thank you. When we come back, Brooks Cabina, I hadn't forgot about it. What are you calling this week? For the Saints, it's Falcon Hate Week. For LSU, is it uh-oh week? Or is it Watch Out Week?
The Blood Tide.
Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN News.
Teaming up to create a healthier community, Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodeau Regional Medical Center present Health Watch.
Just as you put fuel in your car to drive from point A to point B, you need to put fuel in the form of food in your body to achieve peak performance. Good nutrition leads to increased recovery, high concentration, high confidence, and ultimately high performance.
The first tip to good sports nutrition is increasing the number of times you eat per day. An example of a well-balanced day would include breakfast, a mid-morning snack, lunch, pre-practice snack, recovery snack, dinner, and an optional nighttime snack. This is helpful because the athlete may experience an increase in stabilized metabolism, maintain level blood sugars, receive constant energy and nutrients to muscles, prevent late night overeating, and ensure adequate calories throughout the day.
Breakfast is your kickstart for the day to maintain focus, return blood sugars to normal, and be your best as early as possible. Some good breakfast foods may be a smoothie, peanut butter and jelly sandwich, apple slices with peanut butter, waffle with fresh fruit, egg and turkey sausage, or yogurt. Lunch sustains metabolism, stabilizes blood sugar, and assists in meeting caloric goals. Some good lunch options may be peanut butter sandwich, turkey club sandwich, grilled chicken salad, ham and cheese wrap, or grilled tuna with vegetables. Snacks fuel your body, provide energy before workout, keeps you focused all day, maintains stable blood sugar, and keeps you from overeating at any given meal. Some good snacks may be roasted nuts, cracker and pretzel mix, bananas, peanut butter, or yogurt with fresh fruit.
Snacks play an important role in recovering nutrition, which means the body needs to refuel energy stores with carbohydrates, repair and rebuild muscle tissue with proteins, and rehydrate with water and electrolytes.
Timing is everything when it comes to your recovery snack, so be sure to refuel your body within 30 to 60 minutes post-workout, practice, or game.
If you have questions about nutrition before activity, snacks play an important role in recovering nutrition, which means the body needs to refuel energy stores with carbohydrates, repair and rebuild muscle tissue with proteins, and rehydrate with water and electrolytes. Please call the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional at 985-493-4502 or visit us at Thibodeau.com. 985-493-4502 or visit us at Thibodeau.com.
Health Watch is a presentation of Coastal Broadcasting and Thibodeau Regional Medical Center. For more information on the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodeau Regional, call 985-493-4502 or visit Thibodeau.com. Call 985-493-4502 or visit Thibodeau.com.
I rescued Toast from a shelter in 2011. I love Toast because she's a lazy diva. She's sleeping right now. She's so loving. She's so comforting. When I walked into the shelter, I knew right then that she was special.
Start yours today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Head coach Ed Ogeron back after the loss to Texas A&M. What he could have done differently.
It starts with protection. We had some guys free. We had some guys free hitting the quarterback. We were getting beat off of the edge. We just got to look at the protection. I think that every time that you're going to throw the ball, it starts with protection first. Obviously, we want to get a lot of guys out, but maybe we should have kept more guys in. I think that they had a good plan for our protections, and we didn't adjust to it as well as we should have.
He didn't like the game plan, didn't like the offensive calls, and on off the bench on Tuesday yesterday, he kind of went into that again a little bit more. Brooks Cabina covers the Tigers for The Advocate and the Times-Picayune. Brooks, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Fine, man. How about yourself?
Is that really – I'm doing – wait, thank you. Is that really the storyline going into this week and going out of it in just the terms of it? There's not even going to be a game to watch if that O-line doesn't play better, and why did it play so poorly back on Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that between the Auburn game and now against Texas A&M. They've just been overpowered against teams with good defensive front. Alabama's got one, too. It's really – The main piece from that, and we did a story on that today that you can find on theadvocate.com that kind of dives into specifically what went wrong. One of the troubling things was, you know, adjustments in the middle of the game. Ed Ogeron talked about this earlier in the year where Bo Pelini's defense right at the start against Mississippi State, you know, had that tight man coverage scheme and it just didn't adapt throughout the game. And they were torched by 623 yards. It didn't move. And then on Saturday, they went in expecting that their slide protection was going to work against Texas A&M. They had looked at film. They had seen that whenever they bring six people along the line of scrimmage, they do it a certain way, and they were going to slide them that way. But A&M countered and did something that they'd never seen before, and wherever they slid, they came in the back door
right.
And came free. And throughout the game, they were unable to adjust and correct it. They went back into more of a kind of a man type of protection where you call out the people in front of you and count for them. But Mike Gelko, Texas A&M's defensive coordinator, kept bringing in a seventh guy that came in that they weren't accounting for, and he would come in free and get a hit on the quarterback. So I think for anybody listening and wondering about this offensive line, the main thing is, can this offensive line adjust in the middle of the game to things they haven't seen before in film? That's what Texas A&M did so well. We know that Nick Saban and his defense has been specifically trying to get pressure on quarterbacks. And, you know, they've been successful doing that in the past. So can they outsmart Alabama's scheme? Can we see that on Saturday? And can they see it against Florida with Todd Grantham and a defense that's been brutal against Tech LSU the past couple of years? They've been able to get through into the backfield. So two major tests for this offensive line coming up, and we'll see. I mean, there are obviously some concerns there.
Speaking with Brooks Camino, you know, I think one of the things that does stand out to me is that this season you've heard that a lot, right? Whether it's players stepping up, leadership, adjustments, game plans, coaching, simplifying philosophies on defense. It seems like everything but, I guess, the talent has been sort of the thing that's been pointed to. Is that a positive if I'm an LSU fan, or is that something that, as an LSU fan, I'm looking at going, well, is it that we're not as good as some of these teams?
I don't know if you're trying to find a positive. I'm not sure this year's for you, very much. This is just one of the perfect storms for a problematic season. You know, there have been a lot of players who have opted out, Harris Marshall being the most recent. You know, the offensive line has, had some shuffling in its lineup there. Rosenthal was out for a while and came back when he was reinstated. Torrey Carter was missing against Texas A&M. He's a hybrid player, a good blocker in the backfield, as a tight end, sometimes as an H-back. He wasn't available. He was reinstated yesterday and will be available against Alabama. Players have been hurt. Players have come back. The offseason gets knocked out because of COVID and no spring football, but everybody kind of went through that. But mix in the other variables, and you've got a pretty crappy year. As far as putting together a team that can be consistent week to week. And most of all, I haven't even mentioned this yet, your starting quarterback's out. I mean, that's the big one. He was doing well. They were scoring close to 40 points whenever Miles Brennan was there playing at quarterback. Now he's, you know, practically out for the year, and they're trying to make do with two freshman quarterbacks who don't have time in the pocket to throw. So, I mean, it's not a great situation for a good product on the field, and we're seeing that.
Brooks Camino covers the Tigers for the Advocate and the Times-Picayune. So, who's quarterbacking this week?
Asked Ogeron about that this morning, and he said it's only Wednesday. He's going to figure that out on Friday. They've given T.J. Finley many chances these past couple of weeks. And again, both of these quarterbacks are young. They're true freshmen who were not expected to play this year. Obviously, they were backups and were probably going to come in at some point. But Ogeron said that it was marginally close whenever T.J. Finley won the job and played against South Carolina. And he looked very well in that game. He did very well in that game. And it really had to do a lot with the running game. And then you just saw things. So here's the thing. Like I talked about this, and it may have been with you or some others. But before the Auburn game, and then Texas A&M game, and even the Arkansas game, you're seeing defenses shut down LSU's running game and forcing these quarterbacks to beat them with their arms, and they cannot do that. No one, neither Finley or Johnson, has shown that they can do that yet. Johnson obviously led the touchdown drive at the end of the game, but you know you can take that for what it's worth. But if they can't run for more than 35 yards on the ground against Alabama, then it doesn't matter what you do. I mean, we saw that against Alabama in 2018 when LSU they were shut down to 12 rushing yards, I believe it was. Joe Burrow didn't have any time because whenever they took the running game away, they knew that they were going to pass and they could send all kinds of blitzes at them. It didn't matter what they were able to do. So if they can't rush the ball against Alabama, then it's not really going to matter who plays quarterback. We saw that against Texas A&M all game. They flip-flopped them. Johnson came in for a couple of drives, and Finley would go back in, and Johnson came in at the second half. It didn't matter who was in because they couldn't run the ball. So if they can't figure that out, then it doesn't matter.
So is that what you try to do, I guess, this week? I mean, look, the task is insurmountable. When you think about it, right? I mean, they're 29.5-point favorites for a reason. They've looked pretty good all season, with or without Nick Saban on the sideline. Did you just look at it, Brooks, as sort of like, hey, what kind of program you want, what kind of team you want to be, and go out there and show that you have fight, I guess, in you. Really, Coach O seems to be a guy that coaches that way. His philosophy is that way. He's like, if you fight for me, I got your back. If we lose, we lose, but it's been on the field, and at least you tried. Because I kind of look at it as a difficult situation when a guy who holds a players-only meeting 2 weeks ago leaves the team this past Sunday. I mean, who's leading this team right now?
Well, there's a couple of things you said in there. Let's take it this way. I mean, the past couple of weeks, Ed Ogeron's addressed it this way. He's been asked about the state of the program, and our columnist Scott Rabler wrote about this the other day. He's like, where is the state of this team at this point? And he insists and continues to say that he's building a championship program. They don't want another Auburn. They don't want another 48-11. You don't want to get crushed by two teams towards the end of the season where you already have opt-outs and all kinds of you know things going on, you know, with the team. You'd want to show that you can contend. The defense is starting to do that. We saw against Texas A&M, 13 points they gave up the entire game. They gave Kellen Mond plenty of pressure. That's an improvement. You want to show improvement. The defense has done that. Can the offense do that? And it's kind of stacked up against them a little bit with Marshall being gone now and the offensive line, you know, having some of the struggles that are there. Can they keep games close? Can they look like they're together? And I think that's the ultimate goal for the rest of the season. Yeah, they're out of the SEC championship hunt. We've known that for a couple of weeks. They're out of major bowl contention. They're at a losing record right now. The ultimate thing they can do is show that they've got fight. You've said that. I mean, to show that they haven't given up. I think everything that came up after the Auburn game, that former players, everybody talking about pride. Where's LSU at right now? You don't want, from their perspective, you don't want to see that again. You need to show fight in the last three games here, and whatever bowl game that they might be able to get.
Brooks, good stuff as always, man. Always enjoy having you on. Obviously, it'd be better if it was Bama weekend. You know, there'd be a chance. And you play a game. You never, ever know what happens. If folks want to go get all the work, though, this week, what the coaches and players are saying leading up to it, man, what they're going to find on the website, dude. Hello, Brooks.
Yeah, I lost you for a second.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, what can folks find this week as we lead up to the game, man?
Yeah, I mean, you can find me on Twitter at BKUBCNA or at theadvocate.com.
All right, man. Always a pleasure, Brooks. Thank you, sir.
All right, anytime.
There he goes, Brooks Cabino. What do you think is happening?
I think I'm going
to
go to
the break here.
What I think is going to happen is I'm going to take my money over to Mississippi. I'm going to place $5 down on LSU, and if something happens.
You bought Christmas.
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing? Is that how you're looking at this game?
And hey, if they don't win, it's $5.
Is this the loose change game? Whatever loose change you can find in a couch, in the car, in a cup holder, just go ahead and put that down?
Yes.
It's not really a loss?
Yes.
Okay. It's a loose change game. And you sit back, relax,
and if
you bought Christmas. Sports Hangover continues next with Jimmy. Thank you for giving us a call. We'll do that next. We'll return on ESPN New Orleans.
Listen, when was the last time you spoke to someone that was 65 years old? And when you were done, you felt like the sense of loyalty. And we were all raised that way. That's why at Golden Motors, we have been around 65 plus years and it shows. That's why we've been around so long. We cherish everyone that stops by and gives us the opportunity to let them join our Golden Motors family to make your next purchase as pleasant as possible. Give us a call for your next new Chevy or Buick, 985-325-1000, or visit goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, where price is priority.
Hey everyone, Gus Cattingill with the Sports Hangover for Men's Total Health. Having paid them a visit at their office in Metairie and speaking with Shane, I've learned so much about the effects of low testosterone and how it's not only physical. You would be surprised at how hormone imbalance can affect your daily life emotionally, sexually, even sleep patterns. Hormone balance can help you be your best self. Get back to feeling your best with Men's Total Health. Visit menstotalhealth.net or call 504-777-7590 to schedule an appointment with Andrea today. They accept all major insurances and tell them you heard it on the Sports Hangover.
2020 has created demand for unexpected roles in sports, from plexiglass screen installers to video platform support specialists. Whether you're hiring for similar positions or more familiar ones, there's one place to go, ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter's matching technology finds the right people for your job and actively invites them to apply. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/max. ZipRecruiter.com/max.
Whatever you send through the U.S. Postal Service this season is so much more than mail or packages. In every carrier's hands is a card with your handwriting. In every box, on every truck, is your message that you care. We know how much goes into your holiday mail, especially this year, which is why we go the distance to bring you closer. Learn more at usps.com/closer.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone, where we've got more ways to get what you need fast and take care of that fall tune-up. With our free same-day store pickup, you can order online and pick it up today at your local AutoZone. Or we can bring it to you with our free next-day delivery. Just order on AutoZone.com by 10 p.m. and we'll have it at your front door the next day. Getting your job done just got easier. Free next-day delivery on eligible orders. Restrictions at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back to the Sports Hangover. It's Wednesday. And the question of the day over on Twitter is, Saints fans, give us your top storyline heading into the Falcons game this Sunday.
What is your top storyline, by the way? You never gave it to us.
We did go on that big ramble. That's where this all stemmed from.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jimmy.
What's coming to you?
I guess my storyline is Young Hoku. Don't let him get in field goal range because he's a sniper. That's going to be my storyline.
You know what? I'm turning you down. Jimmy, call us back, please. Goodness gracious. You waited the entire Brooks Cabina interview to hang some. Maybe ran out of minutes. Oh, I turned your mic down. Sorry. Go ahead. What now?
No, you're fine.
Okay, thank you. 800-981-003. Jimmy, call back. I think Jimmy's the Taysom Hill guy, right? Isn't Jimmy the one that always calls and mentions his contract? I think it is. This is what Sean Payton had to say today, by the way. He spoke with local media or anybody really, that is allowed to go in on the conversation. He was asked about the run game and really the ability to run the football like they have, or really in this past game.
No, in the game we just played, that plan shifted with the news of who was going to be playing quarterback for them. So obviously we ran it more than probably we had planned. But the good news was we ran it pretty efficiently.
Yeah, so that's why I was talking about the way I did. There he is. Jimmy, thank you for calling back, man. How are you?
Hey, Gus, how's it going, my man?
Doing well, man. What's got?
Hey, I'll make it real quick. Shameless plug for UNO basketball, Gus. They playing at the Lakefront Arena tonight against ULL, Raging Cajuns. They're not going to get anywhere near the capacity mandate, so you could show up easily and not worry about that. 25% right. Of the UNO doesn't get those kind of crowds. So, but I want to get your take. I know that your favorite two football teams in college, Tulane and the Mustard Buzzards,
yeah,
as the Tulane fans call them, Southern Miss. Will Hall, you know, what do you expect out of him with your alma mater? At your alma mater, do you expect good things? Or what? And how is Tulane going to go about replacing him if Fritz stays, assuming Fritz stays? And as far as Taysom Hill's concerned, I know a lot of people are saying, oh, well, after the Broncos game, he's not the answer. But, I mean, we know Sean Payton's going to hold look, we were playing a practice squad wide receiver at quarterback. I mean, people were expecting – they saw Taysom take some sacks. Yes. It was a simple game plan, Gus. No turnovers. And yep. People are giving Taysom a hard time for taking sacks, but – I think that was the game plan. Also, there's not that much film out on Taysom, right? I mean, what, one game he started realistically besides the Denver game, and they didn't show too many secrets there. I think that was by design, too. So, look, I think, honestly, even right now, he's top five dual threat quarterback in the NFL right now. Okay? That's where I got Taysom at. I know, hey, look, Vanilla Vic, Derry Sanders, whatever they want to call him, Mormon Ghost, I've heard all the nicknames. I like Taysom Hill. He's marketable. And for a 30-year-old, he still moves pretty quick. So what's your take on Will Hall and Taysom Hill moving forward and possibly being a franchise quarterback?
Mm-hmm. Well, let's see. Let's start with Will Hall. Reportedly, I think today at some point it's supposed to be official that he's going over to Southern Miss. So, it's congratulations to the head football coaches. I'm looking at it now. So, yeah, I mean, that's essentially something that I think a lot of people around campus have been kind of looking at and kind of expecting. He's one of the names that's been popping up for more than the season. I'll just say it from the Southern Miss perspective first. I still have plenty of buddies that, you know, have season tickets, go to games, follow it, and all that. They are in so desperate need of true leadership, it's not even funny. I'm talking about just a guy that has a plan, a coach, and can somehow connect with players. And it's been ugly. They've had several ADs, coaches. So from a Southern Miss perspective as an alum, I'm all in favor of it. I like Will Hall. I love my conversations with him, covering him for Tulane. I think he knows football, knows the offense. I think he can help develop quarterbacks. I think he can maybe help. Look, I mean, seeing the development of Will Pratt and how this team sort of played this year once he became the quarterback was pretty cool to sort of see. So I think, especially there in Hattiesburg, if he can get some players, they're going to be a lot better than they were. And just have a coaching. And quite honestly, coming with Fritz and, you know, his time in Memphis and stuff, he's got some pretty good coaches that he's coached with that have been head coaches on how to handle a program and run it. So I think from that perspective is good. Where Tulane goes to replace him, I thought it was interesting you brought that up, because the few people that I've talked to about it, they immediately come back with, if Willie Fritz stays. So there is some fear from some folks that, you know, he could be somebody that, again, this offseason, people are going to talk to. Vandy is a name that keeps popping up that I keep hearing. But again, look, Tulane's given him extensions this past, I think, season as well. So I think he's happy and I think he likes what was going on. But obviously, if a Power 5 school comes calling, you listen at the very least. I don't know anything other than that. I don't know anything specific. I know they're trying to get ready for Memphis this week. And, you know, it is what it is moving forward. But I do think having a guy like Pratt helps and try to recruit a certain offensive coordinator to your staff if you're Willie Fritz. And it'll be interesting to see where they go. I do think that American Conference is a pretty good conference that has some pretty good coaches that'll be assistants as well. So we'll see where it goes forward. As far as Taysom Hill being a franchise quarterback, that kind of brings me back to the reason why we're having the conversation we did today. I found it interesting that Sean Payton, while again, the correct decisions to do whatever you feel you need to do to win the game, and that's at the end of the day. I preach it to Jordan every single week. I don't care if it's by a point or 30. And he said it this week. It doesn't have to be aesthetically pleasing. You're there to get the win. And that's what we did. That's what he said on Monday. All I was saying is, if that's the case, what was it that made you feel you needed to change the plan? If you have confidence and faith in everybody that you put on the field to execute the plan. I'm going to stop short of saying contradictory. But when you preach next man up and you have no, now again, they may change the defensive game plan when Lattimore doesn't play. They may change the defensive game plan when Davenport was out. They may change the defensive game plan if, you know, some starters are out. I get it. But that's why it's, and I use the phrase gnawing at me. It's just, that's what's so out of character for this season. Now look, it is in character this season for him to be locked in. Right? He is one step ahead this year. He really honestly is. So for him to feel that, that's why it was the correct move. And I'm saying I agree with it from that standpoint. What I'm delving into now, a couple days afterwards, moving into this week, why did he feel the need to? That's what I'm trying to figure out. Do you understand what I'm getting at? On Sunday, get a win. He felt that that's the best way to do it. Gotcha. Wednesday, I'm just sitting here going, okay, as we move forward now and you're facing the Falcons, I find it curious, peculiar, why everything else is next man up, yet you felt the need to go safe and run the football more. The only difference was your quarterback. Now, very good point that Richard brought up and others, and even he did as well. You don't have Teron Armstead. You don't have Andres Pete. You don't have, but again, that's not any different either. This Saints offensive line this entire season has played at least a game. I don't think they've played one game where the starting five that you wanted before the season played. So that's not completely out the ordinary. But I understand, look, it's different not having Pete, not having Armstead, and having Drew Brees back there than Taysom Hill. So I can understand that from that perspective. I just find it really odd that all of a sudden you go, but again, and if Sean says, I felt that way without having my starting left tackle and guard, I got it.
We're not having this discussion.
But that's not what he said. He said the plan changed based on their quarterback availability. That's why I'm just wondering. What made you feel that changing whatever game plan you had Wednesday through Friday was going to be a higher rate of turnover or risk than what you did? Now, look, I get maybe I'm contradicting this aspect of it, and the graph is probably smacking his hand on the because I love the fact you ran the football. I think it's smart. Do it. Yes, and that's what I'm saying. I like the game plan. Do it. Run Murray. Use Murray. Brian still can't get over it and use Murray in the Vikings playoff game. I love it. And I said on Monday, it's one of the reasons I really like where this team is right now. They could win a handful of different ways, and Sean proved Sunday, depending on what I need them to do, we can go out there and execute. They won by 30 points. They won by 30 points. And he changed the game plan on Saturday. I mean, they won by 30 points. So by no means am I complaining, am I questioning, am I saying this guy is a bum? That's not what I'm saying. I just find it odd. Discussion points. I just find it odd. You know? Normal people would just think, hey, something had to give you cause for there to be reason for concern, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. It's neither here or there. Let's get to some Pell sound, shall we? You want to do that? What do you want to hear from next? Jordan, you get to make the call. What do you want to hear from next?
I'll leave you hanging.
You couldn't think of anything, could you? Stan Van Gundy next when we come back.
I was actually going to say that.
Funny ESPN New Orleans. I'm taking what they're giving because I'm working for a living. It's time to have fun, so come on in. Come on in and win. It's magic.
Cash Magic. Come and feel the magic. Cash Magic. Where winners play both night and day. Cash Magic. Video poker players know there's a difference at Cash Magic, a big difference. At your local Cash Magic casino, you'll have fun playing the newest games while enjoying our fast and friendly VIP service.
Cash Magic is my lucky place.
It's time to have fun, so let us make you feel right at home with our fast and friendly VIP service. Come feel the magic today at one of our 9 Cash Magic casinos in Southeast Louisiana, including our 2 newest locations, Cash Magic Galliano and the Royal Flush in Houma. Louisiana's favorite place to play video poker, Cash Magic. You'll always be
a VIP, Cash Magic. Must be 21 or older, valid ID required, gambling problem 877-770-STOP.
NOLA Chill, New Orleans' state-of-the-art cryotherapy and wellness center, is now open. Cryotherapy is leading the nation's industry in recovery, wellness, and weight loss. NOLA Chill is your solution for targeting arthritis, tightening skin, and fighting off wrinkles, and it's a great tool for recovery for athletes and active people pre- or post-competition. Plus, a simple 3-minute cryotherapy session at NOLA Chill targets inflammation and burns between 500 to 800 calories. Find out more cryotherapy benefits and schedule your appointment at NOLAChill.com. NOLA Chill, cryo and chill.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joe Septic Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joe Septic Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
106 miles from Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to The Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. What are your top storylines going into this week? Do you think the Falcons will score a touchdown? I would love for them to not again. And go an entire season, Jordan, of never scoring a touchdown against the Saints.
Well, I mean, I was quite surprised by the performance that they showed up against the Raiders this past weekend, 43-6.
That to me was a classic case of one loss turning into two. I think that Kansas City loss hurt them. Don't you? I think the Raiders couldn't get back up after losing that game. 5 turnovers. 5 takeaways. Sorry performance.
Raiders had that game. They should have never.
But that's what I'm getting at. That's a classic case of one loss turning into two.
I can't believe you aren't still patting Pat Mahomes on the back for that drive that he conducted against the Raiders.
Look, it's expected. You know, when greatness happens all the time, you just, you know,
get used to it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what, like when you win all the time, it's just like you don't even celebrate. You just show that
you're
cool.
You heard Raphael. You heard everybody else this week on the show. There's Kansas City and everybody else.
Yeah.
Even though they only won by 3 against Tampa. Didn't score in a fourth, but I don't think they're as strong. Right now, if you had to pick KC, Pittsburgh, AFC Championship game, who you got if they play tonight?
Kansas City.
Really?
Really?
Right now, honestly, I would probably lean Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Wow.
Because I've watched a handful of games, and they don't seem invincible to me this year, Kansas City. They have the ability to be explosive. They have the ability to do certain things. But Pittsburgh's been consistent. But their defense is really good. KC's defense at times can be good. Like, I'm real interested in this game against the Saints. The Saints defense is playing really well. I think you can score on Kansas City. Now, you know, you got Pat back there. Good luck with that. But, dude, Pittsburgh's tough. Again, you're a non-believer, though.
Still not buying them.
I know you're not buying them. Four Kid reminds you every single Tuesday. You don't buy them. You don't buy them. Stan Van Gundy, back on Monday, had a few things to say. Let's get through a handful of bites here and continue. So we can get a handful of things as well. Plus, top of next hour, we'll recap what Zion had to say. We'll fly through those. Because he spoke this morning to local media. He feels healthy. He's ready to go. He just wants to prove to people that he's the player that he was, you know, over there at Duke. So, let's see. Where do we start with Coach? Let's start with the fact of Zion's health.
Yeah, thanks, Fletcher. You know, to your first question, I've always been a big fan of Eric Bledsoe's. You know, I think first and foremost, he has the kind of disposition and mentality that I really like. I mean, he's a tough, hard-playing guy who will really compete on the defensive end. And on the offensive end, he's a relentless attacker. I mean, he's somebody who can attack off the dribble. He's a great finisher. You know, somebody who can really, really get to the paint. And obviously, he's now spent the last couple of years playing on the team, you know, that's had the best record in the NBA. And so he understands what it is to play at that level. So I thought he was a great addition. And to be able to go in the same trade and get Steven Adams, I mean, that to me is an amazing job that Griff pulled out off to be able to do that. And then add a couple of first round picks and some swaps. I mean, you couldn't do a much better job than that, but those two new guys will really help. As far as Zion, no one, not Zion, not our medical staff has mentioned any limitations going into camp. As far as the conditioning and where it is, you know, it's not just Zion. It's everybody on the team. I won't have any idea on that, really, until Sunday, you know, when we get into the first day of team practice and start going up and down the floor a little bit. We'll start to get an idea of where we are. I will just say this. I don't think it's going to be the level of conditioning I'm used to seeing on the first day of training camp. And I don't think that's of any fault of the players. I think this virus and what the players have been allowed to do and not allowed to do is going to have major impact. Normally, as you guys know, you know, you go to that first day of training camp, they've usually been around for 3 or 4 weeks and playing pickup games and getting up and down the floor. We couldn't do any of that. And so you just have to know as a coach that you're going to go into it on Sunday. And it's not going to be the level of conditioning that you're used to dealing with. And one of our big jobs in training camp over the course of a little over 2 weeks is to bring them as far as we possibly can in that amount of time. And I think for us, that means a real orientation in camp to a lot of 5-on-5 play. A lot less breakdown drilling, working on the parts of things, and a lot more of whole method of getting everybody out there and going at it and playing basketball. I don't think there's a better way to condition than to play. And so we have to play as much as we possibly can and add things as we go.
That's different, right? That's different. But, again, it makes a lot of sense. I go back to Jordan. Michael Jordan, who always said the best way to get in shape for basketball was?
Play basketball.
Yeah, play basketball. And as a matter of fact, everyone kind of started thinking he was coming back when they saw him playing pickup games. Period. So there you go.
That's right.
Yeah. And Lonzo, I mean, Zion earlier will play at the top of next hour everything he had to say on Stan Van Gundy. Said he reminded him of an old school coach. So that's in his mind. That's how you get in shape.
A couple players said that, actually. I know Steven Adams. I know Zion said it. And I think Eric Bledsoe said it.
Here's what he had to say on playing fast pace.
A little bit of an adjustment, Will, but I have said this when I've been broadcasting. I think the pace stats are a little bit deceptive to begin with, because not in all cases, because certainly you had Milwaukee leading the league in defense and running off of it. But a lot of times, if you're hard to score against and you're making the offense, the other team's offense, take more time because you do a good job defensively, the pace of the game slows down, particularly if you're a defense that's good but not based on creating turnovers, the pace will slow down. And so sometimes I know even preparing for teams, you'll look at teams as what I think is a good running team, and then you look at the pace and fast break points, which are really pretty, I think, poorly defined anyway. And the numbers will be low. So I do think my teams have run better than the numbers will show, but it is different. I really haven't had guys that could attack in transition the way that, say, Eric Bledsoe can. I haven't had guys, I don't think anybody has guys who throw the ball ahead as well and as willingly as Lonzo does. And so we've got some advantages in transition and certainly want to play to that. And that will require some adjustment for me in the way that we play offensively. But I think the biggest thing is to make our transition game as good as it can be. And I just mentioned Milwaukee. We got a guard. I mean, I don't know if you can be 20th defensively and be a lethal transition team. You just don't get enough opportunities to get out and run. And you can push the ball when the other team scores. And we will try to play faster off of those situations than I am used to. But I don't think you're going to, you know, light the world on fire in transition if you're taking the ball out of the net all the time.
I could just take the last 20 seconds and play that over and over again for probably 80% of Pelicans fans. If there was one critique for either Gentry, the offense, the philosophy, the style as we go to break here, it's real simple. It's this, they were so heck-bent on making sure you got shots up and you just check. How about be efficient? And like he said, we can push and shoot all we want. But if you take it out of the basket, it takes away your transition. Again, Zion going to three. You're going to hear from that when we come back next as well. There's a reason for that. Trying to help him get into transition and be more creative on the offensive end. But again, it starts with defending. You know the teams in the Western Conference, Jordan. They're chock full of that Christmas Day lineup. Western Conference teams all up in it. You better defend. Hour 3 next on ESPN New Orleans.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m.